Are you having problems finding the right people for your practice? Are you trying to build the ultimate team? Do you want to take it to the next level? Well, friends and family, I have the guy that has all the answers, the right solution, the right resource to help elevate your practice and make hiring a breeze. Friends and family, welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast. Let's go.
This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Super excited to be here. It's top of the week, Monday, top of the month, December, busiest month of the year for a lot of us eye care professionals.
Yeah.
One thing that we're probably experiencing that we're all having a problem with is having the right team in place, especially when it's prime time, right? And on today's show, we have an amazing guest that's really going to help to elevate everything that we need when it comes to eye care, when it comes to building a team around us to be successful. Friends and family, I'd like to welcome my colleague, my friend that's up in the Poconos, baby, living his best life right now, Dr. Michael Neal. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing great, Daryl. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Hey, man. Thanks so much for being a part of the show, and thanks so much for what you have done in eye care. Very excited about today's show because we're going to touch on a topic that is impacting everyone, not just in eye care, but truly healthcare and truly every industry that's out there. And that's hiring, right? There's a major gap out there. And you are an expert that has built an organization that has really transformed the way that we look at the hiring process. But before we get too involved with that, let's learn a little bit more about you, my friend. If you don't mind just sharing a little bit about your background, where you're from, where you went to school, and maybe a fun fact. We like learning fun facts about all our guests that come on the show.
Well, since we have all the time in the world, I was born at a very early age, and you know, maybe I'll skip forward a little bit from there. So, optometrist, entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur wrapped inside an optometrist body. That's how I describe myself.
I love that.
Went to school in Philly. Went to PCO at the time. Now it's Salus, and graduated in 2000. Been in private practice since here in the Poconos.
Nice.
Yeah. As far as a fun fact goes, I got two kids. My wife and I have a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old. And so we are living through the challenges of working and, you know, being parents as well. And then as far as something interesting, I'm a runner. I started running in March of 2022, and I've just finished qualifying for Boston and Chicago.
Oh, wow.
So that's a big deal for me. It's something that I thought was completely unachievable, and I was able to do that. So. Awesome. You know, it helps when you think a little bit differently as to what's possible. And that's kind of one of the themes of our discussion today, isn't it?
100%. And you know, to be a runner, it takes a lot, man. I'm a walker, right? And it's funny you mentioned that. I actually started getting back into walking last week because
good. And
I'm putting these shirts on and these buttons and starting to shoot shots off. You know, I almost took my wife out the other day because my belly got a little too big and the button couldn't, you know, hold anymore. So, you know, I got to step my game up and lose some weight and get healthy, especially going into this peak season, man. And I'm not getting any younger. You know, I'm in that 40 plus club now. So things are changing and my body is changing, man. So I got to step my game up.
Yeah, that's what we all have to do. I mean, optometry is not exactly the hard lifting physical profession. We are not digging holes all day long. So, you know, there's that.
Right. Well, you know, let's jump into it, man. You know, I love to learn about my guests. We got that out the way, but I also like to learn about their why. Because I feel like once we start talking about your why, your purpose, it really helps to set the foundation for the conversation for the remainder of the podcast, right? Because we're all living in purpose, but we got to know about that purpose before we get too much into the guts of the conversation. So if you don't mind maybe sharing your why.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'd say it's twofold. The first why, why did I come up with this process? It was desperation. Chaos. I mean, the gun was to my head with our practice. We were hiring using resumes and getting horrific results one after another. So the why there was we had to solve that problem in order to stay married and continue practicing without going absolutely postal. And, you know, anybody in a husband-wife practice who's having HR problems, I mean, thankfully we don't anymore for the most part, but yeah, that was 2017. And that's the first why. Why did I turn it into a company? Well, the reason there is I didn't do it on purpose. It started out with getting great results for a practice. And of course, I talked to some friends about it. Next thing you know, I was doing it for a retinal specialist friend of mine, a dentist friend of mine. And now we flash forward, we're in almost 40 states plus Canada throughout North America. And we're doing it in eight different healthcare professions. So we've been able to learn a lot and help a lot of people. And to crystallize the second why, it's to help average folks get amazing jobs in healthcare where it changes their lives, helps them, their family, just have a much better life for each of them. So kind of like what we do on the eye care side of things with patients, we improve their lives. I'm able to do that one day a week when I'm seeing patients, but I'm also able to help them with, you know, just better careers, better lives, not just in the Poconos, but throughout North America. So that's my why.
Well, hey, man, that's a hell of a why. And that's a lot of different industries and folks to be helping out. You know, kind of paint a picture of what your practice looks like, right? Because, you know, before we get into some of the problems that folks experience in HR and hiring, I think it's good to kind of paint that picture, because I always like for folks to see themselves in what they hear and see on the podcast, right? Because a lot of times you hear things, you're like, that doesn't really pertain to me. So if you don't mind painting that picture of maybe what a day in the life looks like in your practice, or what the specialties are, how many exam lanes, kind of paint that picture for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, our practice is a small rural practice in the middle of nowhere. We don't have a talent pool. We have a talent puddle, and it's about a couple inches deep, and that's it. So if you kind of look in the mirror, I'm your regular old optometrist with my wife and I, you know, husband, wife practice. We've got a bunch of tech rooms, couple of exam lanes. I think, 3,200 square feet is the size of the practice. Nice. We do very, very well out of that square footage. High volume practice, mostly medical. We were able to turn that corner years and years ago. And I'd say the key differentiator between our practice and others is two things. One, we do very little as doctors. It's not what you think. It's that the team is, we have a team full of A and B players in the practice. And those team members work at a really high level, and they are fantastic. So we don't have to do much. We're able to sit, talk to patients, in a concise and meaningful way, but it's a very, very enjoyable day for us. And it's all due to the team members that we have. And it most certainly did not used to be that way.
Yeah. Nice. Well, let me ask you this, and I'm going to get back on track here, but you mentioned rural optometry, rural practice, medical practice. I work with a lot of students, a lot of new graduates listen to this show. And a lot of them are, trying to decide, should I go to rural America to practice, or should I go to the city? Because as you know, in rural America, there's great opportunity to help a lot of people and change lives. And that scope is just so wide, but also, I mean, let's keep it real. It's a big payday as well. For those students that are out there that are kind of on the border, what would you say to kind of push them over to say, come on over and help out? I know there's definitely a need, but you've been doing this for quite a bit of time. I'd love to get a little more insight on rural optometry on your end.
Yeah. So there's so many reasons. I wouldn't dream of practicing any other way. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that one's better than the other. It's just, it's a great fit for me personally. I love being in some ways, I guess the country doctor. It's fascinating. We don't have very many ophthalmologists around us. And oh good Lord, the pathology that walks through our front door would shock you.
Okay.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. On the other hand, it's wonderful because there's no such thing as a boring day. I can't remember the last time we had it just doesn't happen. In fact, we brought on an associate recently, and we're seeing patients there with levels of complexity that she just shakes her head. But it's not that we're geniuses. Well, she might be, but I'm definitely not, as you can tell from listening to me. It's location. I mean, we are the ones that provide eye care in the middle of nowhere. So you have to see the people that walk through the front door, and that's a great average work day.
Gotcha. I love it. Well, that's a good segue. I want to give a shout out to our partners, our bio. I want to play a quick commercial from them, a partnership with them, and then we're going to jump into your organization. We're going to talk about building a team and would love to hear the systems and processes that you have in play to change the game for our colleagues out there.
Terrific.
Sight. It awakens us to the present moment, guides us through essential daily tasks, shows us the road immediately ahead, and a future we can only hope to witness. Sight gives us hope, but retinal diseases can take our sight away, along with the hope that goes with it. At Iveric Bio, we see a world where vision is preserved. Our mission is to deliver transformational therapies for people with retinal diseases so they can live with hope in sight. The freedom to drive, the ability to work, the comfort of looking into a loved one's eyes, or the simple confidence to knowingly say, "I see." Iveric Bio. Hope in sight.
Now, I know that partnership right there, Iveric Bio, probably resonated with you because I'm pretty sure you see a decent amount of age-related macular degeneration, geographic atrophy, and it just feels good to be in optometry right now. I know that there are solutions out there to really change our patients' lives, you know. But today I want to talk about how we can continue to change our patient lives, but most importantly, change our colleagues' lives. Mm-hmm. And what I'd like to do is really jump into some of the challenges that eye care professionals experience, but really healthcare professionals experience when it comes to hiring and finding the right team members in their practices. So maybe you could touch on that to kind of set the tone for the remainder of the conversation.
Whew, that's a big topic.
It's loaded, I know.
We'd have an 8-hour podcast with a lunch in between there. Boy, oh boy. I think the first thing that comes to mind, just shooting off the hip here, is that you're not alone. So we got a lot of ODs listening to this podcast, and you know, you walk into work and you're thinking like you're on an island and you're the only one who can make decisions and you're the one responsible for everything. And you know, you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders, like Atlas climbing the mountain. Well, that's how it feels a lot of days. You don't have to feel that way with regards to hiring. Build My Team is a company that grew out of hiring in a private practice in rural Pennsylvania in the middle of nowhere. If, you know, does it work in rural areas? Heck yes. Does it work in the city? Heck yes. We've got clients all over the place. The thing is, you're not alone. And so, you know, here I am yapping on about this stuff. What does it do? What's in it for you? You know, how does it get those results? And the quick discussion is that we're all hiring wrong when we start using resumes. Well, why? You know, why am I saying that? What does a resume tell you about a person? Let's just hammer away at that. Let's chip this big old resume block away. Yeah, so when you're looking at a resume, Daryl, what do you see? You know, what do you generally take out of that?
I see name, schooling, and just history of where they worked. And that's essentially it.
Right. Now, what's that person good at?
Not much, because not much is on there, right?
Exactly. So how are you supposed to make a decision about what they're good at when you're staring at a two-dimensional sheet of paper that honestly, most of the time is chock full of garbage and let's say exaggerated is, well, an understatement, but it tells you nothing about the person. So then you take this person, you bring in the best resume human, you sit him down in an interview, and then they're sitting across from you as a deer in the headlights because you're the big old doctor that is intimidating. You don't try to be, but it's the nature of the situation. Sure. You are set up to win only when chance allows you to win. So let's tame this tiger. Let's flip this around and say, no, there's a better way to do this. And the better way is to use resumes last. What we do, and this is all modeled after Disney, the Four Seasons, the company called Strategic Coach that I was in entrepreneurial training, you know, executive training back in 2017. And I looked at how all these companies are hiring. And the long and the short of it is they cast the widest possible net to get as many people as they could to apply for their jobs. Then they ran them through an assessment process. Only when the people cruised all the way through their assessment process did they ever even think of bringing them in for an interview. it was far less dependent upon what the resume said. In fact, they didn't look at, two of the companies didn't look at resumes until they passed all the way through the assessment process.
Wow.
And I thought of that and I was like, holy cow, why aren't we doing that? Well, the answer is we didn't have the assessments, nor did we have the process. And this is arduous and expensive. So I looked at this as an opportunity for my practice to solve the biggest, most anxiety-producing, miserable problem I could get my hands on. Okay, billing's a close second, but this is number one. And this is a forever problem. It never goes away in our private practices, right? Like you talk about the ultimate whack-a-mole. You better bring your hammer to the practice because that's what you're playing every day. And we were able to stop that. So flash forward. It started from my cell phone. We started emailing people. And a quick tip to your listeners, if they're emailing people for hiring purposes, it's a complete waste of time. You have to text. Younger people especially are checking their email 2-3 times a week. That's what they say. We all know it's not even close to that. And it's a completely ineffective medium to try and reach out to people. So we built a system that started email and we had to cancel it. We scrapped the whole thing after I heard my assistant talk to, I think it was 12 people in a day, telling them how to work their spam and their junk mail. So what do? Bill, my team does all the hiring for the practice now. And the quick summary of this process is Bill, my team writes a job description for the practice as to who they're looking to hire. And there's a whole bunch of tricks of the trade that the team does for that.
Can I say one thing?
Absolutely.
Michael, Dr. Neil, job descriptions, they're the same when I look at it online. It's like, yeah. I feel like one company comes up with one and everyone just copies it and, you know, changes out a few words here and there. Am I the only one that sees that, or am I just losing my mind? I mean, like, it seems like no one is innovative or creative anymore.
Yeah. You're right. And our job descriptions are we use very specific language that gets certain types of people interested. It's the first filter.
Okay.
So we want people who are natural fits for healthcare positions. And we have all of this stuff essentially figured out through algorithms and what type of position a person is best for.
Okay.
So that job description goes live. It's published out to over 20 different job boards. Now, why so many job boards? Well, in our process, we're going to reject almost everybody. Therefore, you need a tremendous amount of candidates in the first place.
Gotcha.
The candidates come in and about half of them decide not to move forward on the assessment process. Okay. So as soon as they apply for the job, within 5 seconds, they get a text message on their cell phone. That's how fast it is. Wow. Now, why 5 seconds? Why is this guy so anal about 5 seconds? It's because by second six, they've applied for their second job. You guys, gentlemen and ladies, hop on to the Indeeds of the world and see how fast you can apply for jobs. There's even an AI site that I was introduced to that allows you to apply for 5,000 jobs with a couple button clicks. This is how bad it is right now. And that's only going to get worse. Yeah. So they get a text. 20 minutes later, they've gone through our entire assessment process. We start off by measuring their mindset, and we're looking for people who want to work in healthcare. They come to the table with a healthcare mindset. They're a team player. They're grateful and appreciative. They've got initiative. They really have a helpful heart. They like, you know, enjoy helping people. They have honesty and integrity, et cetera. Now, they have to imagine a big old funnel. So they have to pass that in order to move to the next level.
Okay.
Next thing we do is we're assessing their speed of learning. I got news for you, folks. You have a problem with people who are too smart in a healthcare practice, and you have a problem with, well, how do we gently, politically, correctly say this? Boat anchors. Okay. I mean that in the nicest possible way. They're wonderful people, perhaps, but they're not designed to work in a healthcare practice.
Right.
Their strengths and talents lie elsewhere. The geniuses, they're really smart people. They get bored in healthcare. They move on. And so then the worst case for you is you hire a super smart person, you get all excited, and 3 months later, they quit. There's a sweet spot there, and we're able to identify that. Next thing we're looking for are their strengths and talents. And this is one of the key components of the Build My Team process. We aren't looking specifically for experience. What we want, and that's a little bit of a trigger for some listeners, but we want people who are naturally talented and have the strengths for the position that you require. Okay. So what I mean by that is, let's say somebody comes in for a front desk position, which we've all hired for a million times. Do you think that you need somebody with a low stress tolerance or high stress tolerance?
High.
Your eyes just went up like crazy. Yeah, there are a couple exceptions. There are some really nice, mellow practices. There's only two left in America. Those folks can have a low stress tolerance. The rest of them need crazy stress tolerance.
Yeah.
We have a whole bunch of these not only characteristics, but strengths and talents. Are they warm and friendly with patients? Can they follow procedures and policies consistently? Do they handle details and paperwork? Because who wants a team member who can't handle details and paperwork?
Right.
They could be the nicest person in the world, but all you're doing is you're setting up your audit risk to be ridiculous. Right. And we're looking for people with strong follow-up. That we have a whole bunch of these characteristics. I could go on and on, but we have pages of this information about these people. And so in a lot of ways, we know what they're capable of far more than they know themselves. And this is actionable data. This stuff is accurate. So compare that to a resume. Well, you know, since we're talking to all ODs, I'll just hit the nail right on the head here. You walk into the exam room. Hey, Mr. Patient, what's your prescription? Or do you use a ferropter? Which is it? Now, the metaphor here, we're using the ferropter with the assessment process. The resume is, hey, fella, what's your prescription? Are you a myope, a hyperope? You know, you tell me. And maybe I'll talk to you a little bit, see if I can determine it. There's no objective measurements. There's no subjective measurements. All you're doing is you're basically asking the person what pair of glasses or vision correction they're going to need. Now, you're all rolling your eyes right now. This guy's ridiculous. But think about it in terms of the interview process. That's exactly what we're doing because right. There was no better way. So what Bill, my team does is it brings the screening testing, the ferropter, we're doing the proverbial mind dilation, you know, the whole works. And that's the process. At the very end, there's second from the end, I should say, the process, and this is all automated. It asks a couple of questions, things like, how far are you from the practice? So what happens if they're 50 miles from the practice and they're there for an interview because they're desperate? We all know that's never going to work out. They're going to drive by a chiropractor, a dentist on the way, like whatever's going to save them gas money, right? That's how reality is. Yeah. So we ask them 13 different knockout questions where if they're unable to answer yes to those, they exit our process. And like your hours of the practice. And this is all automated. If you can't work the hours, we can't work with you. Okay, I understand that your babysitter is unreliable. I get all of that. But this is a practice that requires people who are A players and show up. And that's how we deliver that type of experience. Next thing, all the people that fly through these assessments, they go for a video interview. So our team does a video interview, and that is where let's make sure the rubber meets the road here. When those candidates are all done through the video interview, we send them over to the practice and the practice makes a selection. So from soup to nuts, this is a process that will take a practice owner approximately 30 to 60 minutes of time. That's it. Soup to nuts. Wow. Now you can spend more time on it if you want, that's fine. But our all-time record is a retinal surgeon who texted us, I need a heartbeat. That was his request. Look, I'm not making this up. Everybody knows retinal surgeons knows that this is probably a realistic story, which it is, but I need a heartbeat. And that was on a Sunday night. This is our all-time record. We had a person hired on Wednesday. She showed up for work on Thursday. Is that realistic to think that that's going to happen? No, of course not. And she was with him, I think, 4 years later still. So that's a terrific outcome. But it shows that an automated system with, you know, that's working 24 hours a day can produce results you don't think are possible. And that's one of the outcomes of the service.
I'm blown away. I mean, you guys have thought this through from top to bottom, side to side, all the way around. I mean, just to the one thing that hit me was the distance questions. Right. Yeah. Like that's something you never think about when you're hiring. Right. But to be able to have that be a part of this process, that's game changer, because to your point, folks that are desperate, they'll drive an hour, they'll drive 30 minutes, and they may have family members that they have to go back and pick up from school. And that causes an inconvenience, and that can cause some errors at work as well. Right. Because people are concerned about getting to their loved ones, which I get it. I have kids. I want to make sure I'm there and pick them up as well. But these are things that we have to look at. And you guys have kind of put everything on autopilot with us with this process, with this system that you have, and make it more efficient. I love it, man.
Well, and the point is, you are running a practice that only succeeds when your team members show up and your team members are A players and B players. And a quick thought about that. A players they love working with A players. They'll tolerate B players, but they'll quit their job because of C players, and they'll never tell you why.
Yeah.
So a practice can operate unbelievably well when you have A and B players, but you never get out of the mud when you've got C players that are, you know, in the mix. And so one of the biggest learnings for our private practice was that we had at the time a whole bunch of people all over the place. And over the course of a couple quick years, we were able to replace all but two. And those two people are fantastic. They stayed. We slowly but surely and methodically replaced everybody. And by doing that, we dropped our headcount down by four people. Our net income more than doubled.
Wow. Wow.
More than double. Now, there's going to be a whole bunch of people that don't believe a word I'm saying when it comes to that. That is not possible. Well, I'm here to tell you that it not only is possible, but our patient volume increased throughout the process and our workload decreased. We're now working Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday with one Saturday a month.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, you now have the right pieces in play. Right?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, you know, one person is not making up for three people, right? So you're working more efficient, you're working smarter, you're not working harder, you got the right pieces of the puzzle. It makes sense. For those that have never been in a practice and experience folks that don't, you know, do what they're supposed to do, it could be a hot ass mess. And that hot ass mess is going to impact that bottom line. It's no doubt about it. So I'm a believer.
Well, iCare produces maximum net income when things run like a Swiss watch. It costs you, like turnover, for example, is ridiculously expensive. We did a study in our practice. You know, it's a sample size of one. But if the question I wanted to have an answer to is, how much does it cost us to hire and fire a person if we fire them by the 14th day? Now, you know, how many folks have actually brought on somebody and got rid of them by the 14th day? I mean, the answer is almost nobody. Yeah. So they have to do something egregious, but it was $4,500. And on the Build My Team website, we have a case study on this. It was $4,500. And I scratched my head, that can't be right. And then they broke down the math. The team broke down the math. I'm like, oh my God, this is where we've been having all these problems. Like, no wonder we can't, you know, achieve escape velocity. It's just, we're stuck in the mud. And so that was a big learning for our practice, that we needed to do a much better job of this, you know, bringing people on, onboarding, that type of thing. And, you know, the shameless plug is that the Build My Team service is a fraction of that.
Well, let's talk about that in a little more detail, right? You know, for those that are listening to this podcast and they're having problems with building the right team. Right. Yeah. They're having problems with having the right players. They're having problems with figuring out how they can increase that bottom line. What's the best way for those out there listening to get in contact with you?
Well, I would say you go to buildmyteam.com and just take a look at the website. You know, we were born in optometry. This is something we do exceptionally well. And, you know, folks can just hop on a call. It's all scheduled, so it respects your time. Hop on a call with our team members, and this is what they do all day long. So even though you, as I said at the beginning, you feel like you're on an island and you're all by yourself, absolutely not. This is how, you know, you come in, you be brutally honest with our team members, tell them exactly what's going on, and that's what their job is. They're going to help you and a bunch of other people fill these positions, you know, a bunch of positions by noon that day. It's all they do. So, you know, this is an outsourced hiring service specifically for healthcare practices, but all born with optometry. We've got a lot of experience doing this throughout throughout North America.
And are you doing this at scale? Is it just, you know, solo private practices, or is this multiple private practices, corporate optometry? What does that look like?
Any private practice that wants to work with us, that's up to them. You know, we don't limit sizes or otherwise. We've got some big group practices that are large. And, you know, those clients, they drop an email. here's the name of the, you know, here's the position we're trying to fill. And then they sit back and wait. I mean, this is all on autopilot with these practices. The amount of time they spend is so little, but it has to be, because now their time spent on the big picture stuff that they used to never get a chance to do, because they were living the life of death by a thousand paper cuts, trying to hire people and all these resumes.
Yeah. I love it.
And so it is a big difference.
Awesome. Well, hey man, this has been great, Dr. Neil. I've learned a lot. You know, I love what you touched on when it comes to resumes. Nice. And not putting that first, and just what you truly pull from a resume. I love that you guys have this smooth system, right? That takes in account essentially everything, just to be honest with you. You know, as you know, someone that hires, we kind of get stuck in doing the same thing over and over, right? Our algorithm is outdated and we need to update it. And the Build My Team has that algorithm that can take a practice to the next level, that can increase that bottom line, but most importantly, make those patients happy, right? Because you're fitting the right piece, the right player to cater to the position that's there. Friends and family, tap in with Dr. Neil. Check him out. Check the services out. Elevate your practice. Hit up the website and learn more. Dr. Neil, while I got you here, man, I got to ask you this. I ask all my eye care professionals this before they leave the show. When it's time to retire your phoropter, when it's time to walk away, what do you want to be known for? What kind of legacy do you want to leave behind in this amazing profession of optometry?
Wow, what a great question. Other than the, first of all, patient, I'd separate this into two. Patient-wise, I love seeing kids. I love helping kids see. It never gets old as far as the reward for that. From the professional side, on the Build My Team end of things, imagine how many kids are, you know, I can help if I got amazing teams in thousands of practices around the, you know, North America, all operating at a much higher level. Wow. So, you know, sounds a little ridiculous, but we're doing that at a good level now. And it just keeps getting better and better and more effective because we get feedback from our clients on what needs to work a little bit better for their practice, et cetera. And the more we work with them, the more we learn what they like in terms of the types of people and, you know, essentially the algorithms for what makes a person successful in their practice. And that just keeps getting better. So we follow this big, massive feedback loop, and that is helping me help all kinds of folks who will never, ever know who the heck I am or Build My Team is, but it helps create a much better environment for practices to be incredibly successful in.
Love it. Love it. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, with this way of how you're doing business and algorithms that you have created, when it comes to that technician position and being able to have the right buzzwords or the right algorithm, what I'm thinking is not only are we going to help those patients, but you actually might have the secret sauce, the secret formula to create more optometrists, more interest in optometry down the road. Because we all know technicians, that's a great resource for the pipeline for optometry or optometrists down the road. So I'm curious to see, and I hope you guys are collecting data as time goes by, how many of these tech roles turn into optometrists down the road, since you're doing all the math on the back end. And maybe this is a system that the schools can actually use and leverage to get better talent for optometry as well. Just putting it out there, man.
Yeah, there's no doubt that you know, you're talking about planting seeds and seeing what they develop into.
Yeah.
Because we're putting people in positions that utilize their natural strengths and talents, they can excel. This is not, it's not rocket science to do that. It's tough. You know, it's a logistical challenge to make that happen, but we solved that problem.
Yeah.
The outcome when you get somebody who has natural strengths and talents, who walks into a practice, who can do that type of tech role, they think it's easy. They don't understand why it's hard for everybody else. And then maybe they're thinking, well, you know, this doc's got a pretty good gig.
Yeah.
Maybe I could do that. And then next thing you know, they're talking to the optometrist about it. And next thing you know, they're applying for school. And that's terrific. I mean, that what a win that would be. Imagine how on the pay it forward concept, imagine how that pays forward for the entire profession.
I love it.
That's,
man,
a big deal. Yeah.
Absolutely, man, because it's definitely a shortage. But Dr. Neil, man, this has been fantastic. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, man, we definitely got to have you back. I think we should have an update. Maybe you can give us an annual report of where we stand in optometry with, you know, job vacancies and things like that, and update us on the technology and where you're going with the algorithms and things of that nature, man. Because
that sounds fantastic.
I kind of geek up off of this stuff because I've been in the eye care industry for almost 22, 23 years.
Yep.
And, you know, I've seen a lot of people come. I've seen a lot of people go. I've seen a lot of people stay. And, you know, I'm just always interested in just knowing why these dynamics are taking place. You know, I'm going to jump off here, but funny story. I was talking to my wife the other day, and she was looking at a new job opportunity, and I was giving her advice. And she looked at me, and she said, "How can you give me advice?" I said, "What do you mean, baby?" I said, "I help with hiring and things like that. I bring in a lot of doctors in our organization." And then she said to me, "You've been working the same job since 2002. And I sat down and I thought about it and I said, "Well, damn, you're right. I was a technician for this practice. Then I went and became an optometrist and I came back to practice for this practice. So I really haven't had to apply for any jobs." So I was kind of mind blown on that one, man. But
just we're all lifers in the profession. I mean, that's it. And I don't, it's fun. I mean, patient care is fun as long as you get to actually do the patient care.
100% And I think the reason why we're lifers is because someone had this algorithm that you created, but it was in the mind and it wasn't actually in the system. But now you got the secret sauce to make it happen. Again, man, thanks so much for being on the show. Everyone, make sure you stay healthy, stay positive, stay blessed. And until next time, peace. All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars and make sure you follow us on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.